AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1 930 on a Monday morning, an opportunity for me to spend time with the staff and management of the City of Bartlesville, and starting off with, a financial professional, city clerk, and numerous other hats. Mike Bailey, good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Charlie. How are you doing today?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, even though it is a little cloudy.
It is a beautiful day. And yeah. It was a nice weekend. And I know we're a few days late, but we didn't have the radio show program on Friday, which we never do, but we didn't have it on Friday.
Well, we can make it Friday if you want. No, never mind.
Wait, can we do Monday and Friday?
We'll see what we can do for you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Kevin will let me do whatever I'll pay for is what you're telling me.
We are a for-profit business. Yeah.
There you go. But wanted to take a minute and thank all the veterans for their service, and you in particular as well, Charlie.
Since I'm the one here, I will say thank you for all of us. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate everything.
It was a nice Veterans Day parade.
It was a fantastic parade, and we were very fortunate. The weather certainly could have been much worse given the time of year and our location in the United States. So we were very fortunate. Had a great parade, and it's always nice to see our veterans get a chance to be honored. So, but with that, I thought I would introduce the staff that I've got here with me today and kind of talk generally about what we're going to talk about.
Do we need to mention leaf pickup this week?
Leaf pickup this week. That is a great one. I didn't have it on my list because we had quite a few things, but we probably ought to. So for anyone who has leaves or yard trash in general, this is the week that you can leave that out next to your cans for free. Don't leave it right next to your cans, but just a little ways away, and we'll pick those up. We do it on your normal pickup day, and no tags or special bags required. Just set it out, and weeds, leaves, limbs. We'll take all of those things this week.
Bundle those limbs, 50 pounds or less.
That's
three.
Right.
Feet or shorter, I believe.
Yeah, but definitely take advantage of this. I know all of the citizens of Bartlesville who live in Woodland in particular appreciate this service.
I was driving through Woodland taking a friend home after an event yesterday, and there are a lot of trees that some have leaves and some don't.
And it's you're right, because it's more yet to come. Yeah. We will also do this again in December, and we'll give more reminders before that time comes. But we always do it twice a year to make sure that we get all of the leaves, and that way people don't have to hold their leaves for 2 months while they're waiting for the last one to drop. But so today I have with me Lisa Beeman, the Community Development Director and Parks and Rec Planner, and all kinds of other really cool things that she thinks are far better than what she thinks her things that she does are better than the things that I do. For some reason, I'm boring, and
much
she's
boring.
Very excited.
We can make them better. we have the technology.
She thinks her stuff's really cool.
And
I also have David Wood here with me. He is the, and I'm going to mess this up, so he's going to correct me, but I believe he's the president of the Bartlesville Development Authority.
That is the title that I would have used.
Well, then I'm probably right. If it was the one you would have used, I bet I'm right.
Morning, Charlie.
Good morning, David. Thanks for coming in.
But we thought we'd spend a little time today and kind of talk broadly. The last council meeting, we had quite a bit of public interest in a couple of items.
Yes.
And I always think that that's a great opportunity when we have the public that engaged to spend a little time to educate and to provide a little more information on those topics. And in particular, the two that generated the most public input were TIF districts and a rezoning. And so I thought we'd touch on today TIF districts and rezoning. And so I've got Lisa, who will talk zoning and help me with the TIFs. And then David Wood is here also to talk economic development and, you know, what the basically TIFs are nothing but a tool in a community's toolbox to use for economic development. So I thought he'd talk a little bit about that, and then broadly about what it is that the Bartlesville Development Authority does. And he turns out he did not have an announcement, despite the fact that Charlie was hoping that he would.
I say this every time I see Mr. Wood, I always am expectant that there could be an announcement.
Well, I share that expectation. Perhaps it's just, I don't know, maybe I'm excited and hopeful every time I see him. And he dashes my hopes, but occasionally he really does give me some good news. So, but before I do that, I thought I would give you an update on sales tax. The City of Bartlesville sales tax, as you know, this is probably our most important source of revenue. It funds the city's general operations. It funds the economic development with the Bartlesville Development Authority, and it also funds a capital plan that we use to replace streets and equipment and all of the things that we use to do our jobs. Unfortunately, this month our sales tax was down about 1.5%. This has kind of been part of a trend. We have had a number of months where sales tax has been down, been on the decline. The local economy, as everyone is aware, is very dependent on energy, and there's been some struggles there. So it's reflected in our sales tax results. Now, the good news is despite the fact that we were down 1.5% for November, the last 5 months, when you look at them in total, we're up about 0.75%. And as we put together the budget, we really figured that we would be down about 1% through December. So we're a little ahead of where we thought we would be, but we're only a touch ahead of where we were last year. So hopefully things with the Silver Lake Villages that have come online, which David could talk more about than I could, hopefully that will start to turn things around here in Bartlesville.
And just to remove any confusion from the mind of the listener, because someone is going to say out there, well, we just opened up all those businesses.
That's right.
We should be getting more money.
Not quite yet.
Okay.
We expect to see the first returns from those probably in December. So again, hopefully that will begin to turn things around. As you know, we've had some store closings, the Kmart and some other major retailers in Bartlesville last year. So,
As I mentioned to a friend yesterday, that the Kmart, the Sears, so those were part of a decision nationally,
right,
not something Bartlesville related.
It certainly was not unique to us. So we're moving in the right direction. I think David would agree that we have a lot more retail development going on right now than the city of Bartlesville has had in a very long time. So that is good news, and I hope that it continues. So now talking about economic development and in particular, the Silver Lake Villages, a large part of how that was incentivized and created was done through the use of TIF districts. So I thought we'd take a moment today, because as I said at our last council meeting, there was a lot of public interest in one TIF in particular. It was actually on the
retirement village.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was the Hillcrest Retirement Community. There is a proposed TIF for that. But I think there's often a misunderstanding about TIFs and how they work. And so the first thing that I think the citizens need to understand is a TIF does not affect their property taxes, not one bit. It absolutely has nothing to do with anybody's property tax except for the development itself. And so the way a TIF district is set up, a developer pays property tax, and a portion of that property tax is rebated to them. And that essentially is the incentive that operates through a TIF. So
they pay their entire property tax bill,
right,
whatever it would be that particular year.
That's exactly it. So they pay the property taxes they would owe, and then again, as an incentive to create the development, they receive a portion of that over a set period of time, or they might receive all of it. But again, it's for a short period of time. Most of the TIFs in Bartlesville have ranged anywhere between 7 and 12 years. Some of the larger ones have gone out farther than
Correct me if I am incorrect. The taxing bodies, Bartlesville Schools, Tri-County Tech, City, County, will continue getting for the amount of property tax that they would have gotten on that unimproved property.
That's exactly it. So in this instance in particular, that piece of land generates about $5,000 a year in property tax. So that will continue to be apportioned out to all of those districts, to all the taxing agencies. But any improvements above that, the taxes paid on that will be returned to the developer. And again, this is done as an incentive. This helps to overcome certain barriers to development. In this particular instance, this parcel of land is difficult to develop without some sort of public incentive. It's landlocked. There's only one access, and it's a very old county road that comes in from the east. So it needed a major access. It needed one off of a main road, and that's substantial. Extending utilities to the development, the roads, all of these things are the development costs that were a barrier to the creation of this development. So as we've gone through it, we believe that the development would not happen without the incentive, which is the main question that we have to answer ourselves, is would the development happen without it? And of course, if the development would happen without the incentive, then you shouldn't provide an incentive. I think it was probably David who said the best deal is the one that you gave the least to get the deal done. And I think I may have attributed that to him. He may not remember it, but I'm pretty sure it was him. He's looking confused right now. So, but I as I said, that the most important thing for the citizens to understand is that a TIF doesn't affect their property tax. It only affects the property tax within the development. And the city of Bartlesville has used TIFs successfully through the years. Downtown is subject to a TIF. There is some housing that's adjacent to downtown that also is within a TIF. We've used it to incentivize retail. Most recently, there was a multifamily TIF that was out on Bison Road, and I believe that they got a permit within the last few weeks to start construction, didn't they, Lisa? So that one is about to bear fruit. And the most recent, of course, was the retirement center. And so last Monday, the retirement center was, the final public hearing was held on that. Prior to that, it had been considered by the City Planning Commission and by the TIF Review Committee. Neither of them made a formal recommendation to the council. The Planning Commission did not act, and the TIF Review Committee actually acted on a specific set of, a specific incentive package. They did decline that particular incentive package, but they never recommended whether to create or not create the TIF. So last Monday, the mayor did ask the TIF Review Committee and the Planning Commission to take this up one more time and to make a final recommendation either to create a TIF or to not create a TIF. And with that, I'm going to turn this back over to Lisa so that she can talk about the next steps for the Hillcrest Village.
Okay, yeah. The state law on tax increment finance districts require that the TIF Review Committee, which is a local body that is comprised of the local taxing entities, so there's actually 9 members on the committee and all the taxing entities are represented, but they are to make findings and recommendations. Their findings are centered around what potential impact this TIF district would have on those taxing entities. So they have to make findings, and then they also make a recommendation, and by the state statute, that's to be done by resolution. The same with the Planning Commission. They are to make findings and to make a recommendation. Now, while the law doesn't say exactly what the Planning Commission's findings are to be, by their very nature and by the creation of a Planning Commission under state statute, they are dealing with things like land use, zoning, development regulations, subdivisions of land, and those basic regulations. So the Planning Commission is to make findings on those types of items as well as a recommendation. So because nothing was actually finalized in the previous meetings, there will be another meeting of the TIF Review Committee and the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission will meet Tuesday, tomorrow, at 7 o'clock p.m. in the City Council chambers, and they will be asked to review a resolution that asks them to make findings and recommendation. And then on Wednesday at 3 o'clock, the TIF Review Committee will meet again and also look at a resolution. And I think there might be several alternates for them to consider as well, findings, to make their findings and a recommendation. And then these will go back to the City Council on Monday, November 20th at the third Monday meeting of the month. And then the council then would have an ordinance in front of them where they can, after hearing the recommendations, they could choose to take action on the ordinance that would create a TIF district. And so that's the next step.
Okay. The council would have the ability to either accept, modify, or reject the ordinance then? Am I correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So those are the next steps.
Okay.
And Lisa, also last Monday we had a rezoning case that generated a lot of public interest, and we can talk a little bit specifically about it, but I thought this would be a good opportunity since there was so much publicity and so much interest in the zoning laws of the city of Bartlesville that we could talk kind of broadly about those, about the purpose of zoning laws.
Yeah.
And all of the things that
your
department does.
I think Mr.
does.
Kane was getting tired of hearing his name so many times.
I think so.
It was mentioned a number of times. while we're on that topic, the city of Bartlesville does have a conflict of interest policy. And Mr. Kane, there were some citizens who felt that perhaps he had a conflict.
You're talking about degrees of affinity.
That is exactly it. So you have what are called the degrees of affinity, and I believe it's consanguination, which is one is blood, one is marriage.
Right.
The attorney who was representing Casey's and Mr. Kane had the same last name. However, they were actually separated by 7 degrees. I suspect you and I, Charlie, may be separated by 7 degrees. We're not even knowing.
Entirely, anything is possible. So, based on, I have not read the city's policy. I'm going to refer back to school law, which I have read. We're talking about 3 degrees.
3 degrees. That is exactly, and that is what our policy is. So he consulted with the city attorney, and the city attorney informed him that he did not have a conflict. So I thank you for bringing that up. I'm sure he would appreciate me taking an opportunity to clear that up.
Before we went on the air, had a good laugh about it on last week's Community Connection. Yeah.
Yes, and there are a lot of Canes. There are a lot of Baileys in Bartlesville. I will tell you, I'm related to very few of them, but it's easy to make that kind of misunderstanding, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you a little bit about zoning. The state law provides the city the power of zoning, zoning powers, zoning laws. And so anybody has a right to request a rezoning of their property. Charlie, you could request that your house be zoned commercial so you could put a Quick Trip there. Everybody has the right to ask. My job is usually to process those and to provide guidance to the Planning Commission and the City Council. And the document that we use that provides that guidance is called the Comprehensive Land Use Plan. And a Comprehensive Land Use Plan basically talks about how communities should be developed. And if you think of a city, and you think of our city, you know, we have arterial streets. If you think of the city as various sections of land, arterial streets are the main north, south, east, west streets, like Frank Phillips Boulevard, Adams, Highway 75, Madison, Cherokee, Virginia, Bison Road, Hensley, Tuxedo. Those are the arterial streets. And obviously, most of us don't want to live on an arterial street because there's so much traffic on those.
It's rough to back out of your driveway.
Yeah, they're intended to carry traffic. So what better location for high traffic generators to be located than on arterial streets? And that's basically, you could go to any city across the country, and it's the same sort of thing. Commercial and office uses, those uses want to be, and industrial developments want to be, have close access to arterial streets because of the traffic. So in planning for a community, that's where you want to encourage commercial and non-residential development. You want the residential development to be back further in an area where there's lower traffic, where there's residential streets, where it's safer for children to play and people to drive and walk. And then obviously you've got to have a buffer between those. So typically what we look for is, where we can, we want to encourage commercial developments to locate at the intersection of arterial streets, not so much strip out the entire roadway, but we encourage nodal development at the intersections. And then we look for some sort of a buffer behind that more intense commercial development to the residential. So it might be something like multifamily residential, duplexes or office development, those types of things. And that's typically how land use is planned all across the country. And so anybody has the right to request it. We process that, and then we provide guidance to the Planning Commission, who then makes a recommendation. Their recommendations go to City Council for final. And at each of those meetings, there is a public hearing for public input. So people who are, and we always give, the law says we have to give notice to everybody within 300 feet, and we do.
Written notice.
And we also were actually the first city in the state. I think others have modeled us now, but we put up the big yellow sign. That's not required to have a big yellow sign like that, but that's what we do. And if anybody sees a big yellow sign, they should say, ah, this might be a rezoning. Now, last comment about that, the only time we really hold those hearings for public input is when there's a rezoning of land. If the land is already properly zoned, you'll see that people will develop the land. And sometimes I'll get calls and say, well, why are they over here building? I was never notified. Well, if the land is properly zoned, then you don't get notification.
So, for instance, and I think this follows, but if, let's say, there was a motel there, right, and you were going to replace that motel with a Popeyes, then
right,
it's already zoned appropriately, you don't need to.
Right, exactly. And that even is true with residential housing. Sometimes people see a new subdivision going in and they think, well, I didn't know about that. Well, if it was zoned residential, then there's no need for the public hearing. So that's what the law basically states, and that's the process that we run.
Lisa, on ours, so now say in for example, in the Casey's, there is existing residential there. Now, if you were planning the community today, you probably wouldn't have put residential on that road, but it's existed there for a long time.
And for my neighbor's benefit, I don't have enough room on my property for more than a one pump quick trip, so I'm not going to do it.
You don't think they're interested?
Yeah. Exactly.
So in this particular instance, we do have commercial abutting residential, and so our rules and actually call for modifications then of the building plans to provide for screening and things of that nature. So the our rules try to take into account everything. Of course,
and in the case of Casey's, even stronger for them for their zoning request is the fact that it's a highway. It's Highway 60, and so it is a high traffic generator. But it is difficult where we already have existing residential. Our zoning regulations have continued to be modified to provide some, a better degree of buffering where you've got commercial right next to residential, and so we make sure that we can mitigate the impacts as much as we possibly can.
And I can tell you that I have watched Lisa and her staff and the Planning Commission go through these, and these are fairly agonizing decisions because you do have varying interests. You have the property owners and you have the law when it comes to a commercial development, but then you have the conflicting interest of the residential neighborhood, and of course they don't want it built right next to them, and I certainly understand their objection, but it has to be a balanced approach, and I really do think Lisa and her staff and the Planning Commission do a great job at that.
Great, thank you very much.
So, and that brings us, now that we're done talking community development, which Lisa does believe is the coolest thing that the city of Barbersville does.
Particularly if you can put a park next door, then she wins all the way around.
That's right. Then she really loves it. And we'll move on into another critical part of developing a community, which is economic development, and my friend David Wood.
Thanks, Mike. And as I've already told you, Charlie, we do not have a big announcement today. I was sitting around at home about 9 o'clock last night when, Mike communicated with me and said, hey, come do the radio show with me. And I told him that we didn't really have anything to report, but he thought a status update would be helpful.
His
so
exact words
here we
were,
are.
I don't have anything.
Well, and we have about 7 minutes for that nothing.
Okay. It takes a long time.
Well, go ahead. I'll go ahead and do my minute, and then Mike can finish it up at the remaining six here.
I can get the phone book out for you to read or something. I don't know.
Well, first of all, beyond the Popeyes that was approved at the council within the last month, which we expect to close at the end of the month, there is nothing new and significant on the retail front right now. I think we're in a bit of it's a cyclical industry, and we're in a bit of a pullback. For example, when Academy decided to cancel their project, that wasn't a Bartlesville issue. That was a number of stores, and it also came with some layoffs at headquarters. So we are seeing the retail and restaurant industry pull back from the massive expansion that we've had over the last few years.
Speaking of restaurants, there are two spaces that are allocated for restaurants at the development on Adams. Nothing has been announced yet, and you already said you're not going to announce anything today, but it is possible that there could be something at some point in time on those two properties.
Well, I'm virtually certain there will be something at some point. There are two restaurant pads out front, and those are really quite valuable. There's also two bays available in the center, one of them an end cap that would also be appropriate for a restaurant. So GBT, the developer, they have a large investment in all of those, and I know they're working them very, very hard to turn those into revenue events, and that's good for us that they're out there pounding the pavement, if you will. There has been some good movement on the primary industry front, though. Again, nothing that rises to the level of an announcement, but we have an industrial prospect, very solid, to do some expansion on the Sunset property, the former golf course. That'll be the first development that occurs out there, and we're hopeful that we'll have something to announce on that by the end of the year. The proceeds from the sale of that will go directly into extension of the infrastructure. So sanitary sewer will need to be extended that'll be able to serve that entire property. And this is going to be a way that we'll be able to cash flow getting that done. We also, within the last month, Springs out at the Bartlesville Industrial Park has now expressed interest in another warehouse, not any smaller than the one they currently have. We built that for them. It opened up last July, 50,000 square feet. What it came down to is they were storing the fiber. They run 250,000 pillows a week just for Walmart out of the Springs plant. So you can imagine all of that fluff and how much space that takes up. And apparently it takes up more than 50,000 square feet because they're looking to build another one.
And apparently the whole just-in-time delivery system that's used by some industries doesn't quite work for that. So they need more space.
It just-in-time, I don't know. That's an awful lot of fiber that flows through that building in a 1 week period of time. We should be in negotiations and discussing that with them by the end of the year. There's also, and this is really positive, there have been two projects that have just come on the radar about potential call centers or customer service items. That's come on within the last 2 weeks, and we're working all of these right now, and I hope we will have some job creation announcements hopefully by the early portion of the year.
Okay. And then I know you're always just following up on requests for information from various industries that may or may not have eventual footprints here in Oklahoma.
Several times a month we get an inquiry that will flow through the Department of Commerce there at the state, and then we respond to those of which we can meet the criteria on those. And I think there's been about two that's come in within the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
And David, you made an interesting point, because I know one of the things that I have heard a lot about, and I'm sure you have as well, over the last few months is the Amazon, the second office.
Both Oklahoma City and Tulsa have put in requests to be considered.
And I know that this is not something that Bartlesville would qualify for, so this is a good opportunity. We get a lot of these requests whenever there's a big story like this. Of course, people start contacting David or myself or Ed Gordon and saying, we really have to go for this. This would be a game changer for us. So in particular, the Amazon, what were the requirements for that, David, and how far off were we?
Well, let's see, I believe the top line of the requirements were, first of all, you needed a metro greater than 1 million people. They wanted a site.
Missed that by a touch.
I'm trying to remember how many millions of square feet were on the table.
So Ramona needs to grow quite a bit.
Ramona would need to grow a great bit, very large. Also, the minimum employment requirements, I believe, was 50,000 people. So for us to pursue that, we'd essentially be saying that, you know, 100%, every man, woman, and child in Washington County would be available
would
to go to work. So it simply was not reasonable, not to mention the fact that we didn't have the short rail or the subway stop that we could provide them
requested.
With. So, you know, we wish Tulsa and Oklahoma City all the best with that. That's going to be really tough for them to get on their radar.
But if, let's say, Tulsa did, then there could be some ancillary opportunities for Bartlesville somewhere along the line.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Every time something, you know, great happens in Tulsa, there's a benefit for us. So we wish them all the best. In fact, we've even offered to assist if there's any way that we can help them with that.
Okay. So, well, thank you very much. And that kind of takes us to, leaf collection. Again, City Council meeting tonight.
We actually have several council meetings that will be scheduled this month. At this point in time, we're looking to have a council meeting every Monday of this month, and then the first Monday in December. That likely will be our last meeting of this calendar year. The topic of discussion will primarily revolve around GO bonds. There will likely be an election coming up, probably a March election that the council would have to call in January. So for the next month, there will be a pretty intense discussion about projects for that. We anticipate having anywhere between 15 and 24 million, depending on how far out the city council wants to go with the GO bond issue. And we have a list currently that has nearly $30 million in projects on it, and it's being added to all the time as we speak. So by the time this is all done, the council will probably be looking at $40 million worth of projects that they will have to cut down to probably no more than $24, $25 million worth of projects.
So, as a finance person, how's the interest rate environment for something like that?
Interest rate environment is about as good as it gets right now. It actually, looking into the future, there has been some upward pressure on interest rates, so it certainly is a good time to borrow. I think David would agree with that.
Okay. Well, again, we'll invite you guys back in a couple of weeks, unless you want a Friday, and then we'll have to talk about that.
maybe we can swap with somebody. Who's on Friday that would like to move to Monday, Charlie?
I don't know. We'll talk with the folks with the athletic department for Bruin Buzz, maybe. I think you're happy with Monday.
No, that's fantastic.
We'll report from tonight's council meeting. A report from a chamber-funded study on an aquatics proposal.
You're right.
And NGO bonds. That's what we're talking about tonight.
It'll be an interesting night. Short meeting, but a lot to talk about.
I'll hold you to that short meeting. News on the way next.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K2.